So Galatians chapter 2 tonight, and we're going to read from verse 15, just a bit of an overlap with last week, verse 15 to 21. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles know, or it says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us. Speak to us tonight, we pray, Lord. Open our hearts and our understanding, Lord. Lord, bring us further on the way. Closer to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's a word that's used there, well, it's used three times in verse 16, it's used in verse 17, and a bit later on, there's the word justification. But what we've got here in verse 16 is justified, justified, justified. And verse 17, justified. It's looking at this area of justification by faith. We're justified by faith.
Yes.
We've been looking at the gospel of Paul, the gospel, there is no other gospel, the one and only gospel.
That's right.
And it's all about justification by faith. It's central to the message of the gospel. It's central to the message of the good news.
Amen.
And the gospel is, and has been emphasised as, none of works. None of works.
Yes.
It's God's grace.
Amen.
It's God's grace. We are justified. We are made right in God's sight by faith. Made right with him. Justified. You know, there are Christians who, well, there are people who go to church, shall we say. There are people who claim to be Christians. There are millions of them. Who think that being born into a Christian family makes you a Christian. That being christened makes you a Christian. That going to church, if you go to church and become a member of the church, you're a Christian. If you try to do things that Christians do, you're a Christian. That reminds me of the Jungle Doctor story of the goat that wanted to be a lion.
Yeah.
And he started doing things that lions do. And eventually, being with lions, he ended up as their dinner.
Yeah,
millions of people across the world think that that's what being a Christian is. And to try to do your best. And you might make it in the end. Isn't it amazing that today there are so many people that think they're Christians because of those things? They've missed the point altogether. They're nowhere near what the Bible says being a Christian is. It's a religion. It's all based on what we can do.
Right.
It's all based on our works or what our parents did. We've been born into a Christian family. For generations it's been a Christian family. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. The Bible teaching in the New Testament is quite different. Christians are those who, through faith in Jesus Christ and his work alone, are justified in God's sight. It's through faith in him. All the law's demands have been met in Jesus.
Amen.
The man, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
The Lord became man. The Word was made flesh. He became man.
Yes.
And in him, the man, Christ Jesus, what Adam failed to do,
yes.
Where Adam fell down, Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, stood.
Amen.
He was without sin. Praise the Lord. He was without sin. All the law's demands were fulfilled in him. And this is the good news.
Amen.
That we are accepted by God as righteous with no sin if we have repented and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's that work of Calvary, the sacrifice that was made for us on Calvary, the blood that was shed for us.
Yes.
Jesus bore our sin. The price was paid.
Amen.
Thank you.
And we're justified now by faith. Not by works. Not by trying to turn over a new leaf and make amends. But by trusting Christ. Every sin is blotted out.
That's right.
Everything that was stood against us is blotted out. So it says in Colossians. It's been dealt with.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And in Romans chapter 8 it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them and to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. The condemnation has been taken by him.
Right.
He took it that we might be set free. And justification is the opposite of condemnation.
Yes.
Sin condemned us. But by faith now in Jesus Christ, we are justified. We are made right. There is no condemnation. There's no charge to answer. Doesn't matter what we've done, how we've lived, if we've come in repentance and accepted Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord and be born again of his Spirit, there is no condemnation. There is no charge to answer. The verdict is not guilty. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Not guilty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20-21, it says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, listen to this, the righteousness of God in him.
Glory.
No other righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God's grace. It's all of God's grace. God so loved us that he has made this provision.
Yes.
It's God's grace. It's undeserved favour. We deserve nothing of it. But God is love.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Because he is love, he didn't blot us out. Because of our sin, he made a way back to God.
Amen.
From the dark paths of sin, he made a way back to God through the finished work, the complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of God's grace, undeserved, sinners made right with God. You see, what Christendom has in its religion is trying to make ourselves better through religious rules and religious regulations, religious procedures, religious way of life, trying to make up for the things we've done wrong. It never works. We're still guilty. We start off life stained by sin.
Yes.
We're born in trespasses and sin. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. No spiritual life whatsoever.
Amen.
But when we're born again of the Spirit of God, because we've come to God through Jesus Christ and he has dealt with our sins, we are born again. That which was dead, no longer dead. We're spiritually alive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And here in verses 15 and 16, Paul begins to teach about justification by faith through God's grace. Here's an explanation coming from Paul in verses 15 and 16. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, if I could just alter the reading a bit, we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Paul is saying, we Jews, Paul, Peter, those who come to know the Lord, we Jews, we know that what we have had as a religious way of life when we were living by the rules of Judaism, whether it's Jewish rules, we know that a man cannot be justified by the works of the law. Because man is marred already and he can't even begin to keep the law. And Paul says, we Jews, we're not sinners of the Gentiles. We're Jews who have been brought up in all the rituals, circumcision and all the rest of it. Remember, circumcision has been the problem here in the Galatian churches. Judaizers have come in and said, you've got to be circumcised. There are works you've got to do before you can come to Jesus and be saved. And he's saying, no, we Jews know that you cannot. We Jews who are now Christians, Paul, Peter, we know we're not sinners of the Gentiles. We've lived the way of life preached by the Jews, trying to live by the commandments of God, trying to live righteous lives. We know that it's not possible. It doesn't work. Yeah. You can't be justified by the law, by the works of the law. It's got to be by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's having faith in him. Praise the Lord. Even we, he says, have believed in Jesus Christ. We have believed in Jesus Christ. We know that the previous way didn't work. A man is not justified by the works of the law. for by the works of the law no flesh should be justified. And in that verse he is quoting from a psalm. We'll come to it a bit later on. What he's saying is, we've tried that way. We've tried that way.
Work.
It doesn't work. We were still sinners.
Amen.
We were still separated from God. And then we had the law. When we had the law, no one ever did it. No one ever kept the law. No one ever satisfied the law's demands. No one, except one.
Amen.
Jesus. Only he, the man Christ Jesus, we must emphasize this, the man Christ Jesus, he lived here on earth as the man Christ Jesus, that as a man he might fulfill all the law of God that God had given for man. Man failed, but the man Christ Jesus was perfect.
Amen.
Without sin, without spot. It's by the faith of Jesus Christ, trusting him. You see, you're trying to bring these Christians in Galatia under Jewish rules. How's that going to work? You've got to keep the Ten Commandments. You've got to go through the religious procedures and the religious ceremonies and all the ritual sacrifices. How's it going to work? It's impossible. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees were looked up to as those who fulfilled the law, but they failed. And so the word God and the law says your righteousness is going to exceed their righteousness.
That's right.
I said, wow, we can't even begin to be like them. You see, Jesus shared in Matthew how impossible it is. He says, you know, it says in the Old Testament law, you mustn't commit murder. But I say to you, if you look at somebody with hate in your heart towards your brother, you've already killed him.
Right.
You mustn't commit adultery. But if you look at somebody else with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery.
That's right.
Wow, keeping the law actually was hard enough, impossible. But when it comes down to it, even your very person, your very thoughts, what you are, fall short of what the law requires. You do the things that are wrong because that's what's inside you. It makes it completely impossible, doesn't it? The rich young ruler came to Jesus and Jesus said, well, you've got to keep the commandments. And he said, I've done all that since I was a young man. And Jesus, well, just one more thing. There's one thing you lack. Sell all that you've got and give to the poor. And he walked away sorrowful. He walked away sorrowful. He couldn't fulfill the righteousness that the law demanded.
Right.
He'd done some outward fulfillments of it in his eyes. But in his heart, he was still full of self and what's in it for me. And I'm not parting with all my riches. You see? We get Paul's observation in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, just the first four verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to their knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going back to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He's done it. It's in him, the righteousness that we need. But the surprise to us today is it's not just the Jewish view, but it's the religious view of many in the church today, in the church systems. Jesus' sacrifice is seen, seriously, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, his death on the cross of Calvary, is seen by many churches and church leaders and those who preach in many churches as a good example for us to try to follow.
No.
We never do it.
He's done it.
Jesus did it.
Amen.
We can't. So they spend their lives trying to imitate the Lord Jesus. That's why I've always had a question mark over that movement. They should have little badges. What would Jesus do? Well, the trouble is with that question is we come up with the wrong answer, you see. What would Jesus do in the temple filled with traders? Oh, he'd be kind to go and talk to them nicely and say, look, fellas, this is not quite right, is it? Do you think you could just move along a bit or come another day? What would Jesus do? He'd take, he'd make a scourge of calls and drive them out and turn over the money. No, surely not.
Yeah.
At the end, if you've done enough, you might make it. There's never any assurance in that one, you see. It's a lie. That's why. And it's a lie from the one who is the father of lies.
Yes.
He wants people to have that religion. He loves them to have that religious way of life because he knows they're never going to make it. But says Paul, we Jews know. Paul, Peter, others, we Jews know that nobody has ever been justified by the law.
Right.
We know because nobody has ever kept the law properly. Nobody, except Jesus. We Jews should know more than anyone else that none ever kept the law. We spent generations trying to keep the law, and there's not one who has succeeded except Jesus. The Old Testament confirms it. And it's in Psalm 143, in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist says, that David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplication, and enter not into judgment with your servant, for in your sight shall no one living be justified." That's what David said. In your sight, no one living shall be justified.
Right.
No one. What does the New Testament say? Here it is. Condemns us all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3. Yet across the world, millions believe that they can please God and hopefully get to heaven by their own works. Won't do. Paul is saying, even we know it's not by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then Paul goes on to examine justification by faith. In verse 16, again, still in verse 16. Through faith of Jesus Christ, he was the perfect man, lived the perfect life. Remember, Hebrews chapter 10 says, "I come to do your will, O God." This is Jesus.
Yes.
"I come to do your will, O God." He's done that will of God perfectly. He came to live that perfect life and die. He came to live that perfect life so that although he didn't deserve to die,
yes,
although death had no claim on him, he could lay down his life for us,
yes,
that we might be saved. He died in our place,
yes,
the substitute. The cross was his sacrificial death for us. He didn't need to die. He didn't deserve to die. Death had no claim on him.
That's right.
But he died for us. He had no sin, but he bore our sin. He paid the price for us. And the message is, repent and believe the good news.
That's right.
The gospel. Amen. Paul says, we know that a man is not justified by works of the law. It was Paul's experience. He'd never met anybody or known anybody in history that had ever been justified by the works of the law.
Right.
But through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the general principle. We Jews, we have believed, actually the Greek word says, we have believed into Jesus Christ. Not just in, but into Jesus Christ. They're brought into the relationship with him. It's not what we've studied, it's not what we've been brought up in, it's not what we've learned, it's not what we've been trained to do. It's a personal experience. We know what failed, and we know what works.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What you're trying to enforce upon these Galatian Christians, getting circumcised and all those Jewish procedures again, it failed and it will fail again.
Yes.
But what we have experienced through Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, it works.
Amen.
And we're alive. Even we, it says, have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. We know one works and the other doesn't. We know which works. You know, there's a man who came here years ago, he and his wife and his children. He's quite a faithful attender. He lived just up the road, but he moved away. He was from Welsh background, Emlyn Davis. And he gave a little testimony from the front once. He was in double glazing. And he was a salesman, a double glazing salesman. And he went for an interview when he first went for this job. And in the interview, they asked him and said, "Well, what makes you think that you can sell our product?" And he said, "I can sell your product," he says, "because I've got it in my own home and I know that it's good and that it works." I can persuade people because I've experienced it.
Yes.
And he made that parallel with this and witnessing as a Christian, yes, that we can share with others that we know it works because we've experienced it.
Yes.
It's not just theory, we've experienced it. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. This is the universal principle. It's applicable to everybody. Because all flesh, this is what the Greek text says here in Galatians, it actually refers to all flesh. It says, because all flesh out of the law shall not be justified.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just twisting that round now a bit, because that's what it says in the Greek. It says, all flesh, it applies to all flesh. They can't be justified by the law. But the opposite is true for the gospel. It's universal. That all who come to God through Christ Jesus in faith and repentance of faith will be saved.
Yes.
Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There's the principle. We know, says Paul, we've believed it, and it works. And then he defends the challenges. There are those who would challenge in the churches today. They would challenge our Christian lifestyle. We might be happy-clappy. We might be religious maniacs. I guess all sorts of Paul got the condemnations as well. And Paul is answering here in verses 17 and 18. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He can hear the critic saying, well, this message that you're preaching seems to be suggesting it doesn't matter how you live. As long as you've got faith in Christ, it doesn't matter how you live. You just got to have faith in Christ. No, we're not saying that, says Paul. We're not saying that. Justification sets us free from sin and from the consequences of that sin. But it also delivers us from the power of sin and the dominion of sin. In Romans 5 verse 1 it says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You see, what happens is, when we're justified by faith, it's not just God looking at us saying, yeah, okay, then you're fine, you're righteous. But we're righteous for another reason. We're righteous because we're born again of the Spirit of God, and we are partakers of his nature.
We're not in the Spirit.
So it says, you see, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not only has our status with God changed, no longer are we sinners separated from God, but we're children of God, united with him.
Yes.
That our status has changed, but our nature has changed.
That's right.
We're no longer bound by sin, but we've been delivered from sin. Not just pardoned, but delivered. And have a God-like nature. And so Paul looks at these issues. And if we sin, then we have to say, it's our fault. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. It's my fault. It's not the Lord's fault. It's my fault. If I build again those things. If we sin, what then? And maybe Paul is having a little hint at Peter's departure from the message of justification by faith when he was trying to associate with the circumcisers, the ones that wanted circumcision brought in. He's sort of building again the things which he destroyed, which he turned away from. He's going back to them. He's not saying that believers won't sin, but what he is saying is we have a new nature. Sin is not our nature now.
That's right, that's no power.
But if we do sin, well, praise God, there is a continual advocacy in heaven for us. Somebody is pleading our case. Who is it? The one who died for us.
Amen.
Jesus, risen again. And you know those verses in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, if we sin, it is an if, remember. You know, before we were saved, it's when you sin. You can't help it, when you sin. But now we're believers, the Lord says to us, if you sin. We're still here in this world of sin. We're still in these human bodies. If we sin, it's not our nature to, but if we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one, who pleads on our behalf, my blood was shed for them. My blood was shed for them. If we confess our sins, it says in the previous chapter, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's a continual cleansing going on. Praise the Lord. So the message we're preaching, says Paul, we're not saying sin doesn't matter. It does. But remember, we're a new creation in Christ. But if we sin, it's our fault. But we have an advocate with the Father. He's still pleading our case. We have a great high priest, it talks about in Hebrews chapter 7. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Hallelujah.
Yes,
he will save to the uttermost, to the full end.
Yes.
Those that have come to God through him. Praise the Lord. He will save us to the end. For Paul's testimony is in verses 19, 20. I through the law am dead to the law. As far as the law is concerned, I'm dead.
Yes.
My case has been dealt with.
Yes.
It was dealt with by Jesus. But immediately you come to the Lord, your case is dealt with. He's dead. The price has been paid. He's dead. He's paid the price for that. Crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Not just my sin, but me. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, he says here, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Glory.
My life now is Christ, 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 praise the Lord. When we get to glory, there'll be no more slip-ups. There'll be no more sin. Praise the Lord. But now we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, in these old wearing out bodies. Christ lives in me. Our desires, you see, although we might occasionally do something we shouldn't have done, our desires are not for sin. Our new nature is we want to serve God. We don't want to fall into those traps. We don't want to be deceived by the enemy. We want to do what's right for God. Before we were saved, we couldn't care less. But now we're saved. We've got this new nature. We only want that which is pleasing to God. Be transformed. The old nature, the old me, is dead. I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul is not going to set aside the grace of God. He says it here in the last verse. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That word frustrate means I'm not going to cancel out the grace of God. I'm not going to set it aside. The grace of God that is there for us. And if righteousness comes by the law, through our efforts to fulfill the law, if that's what is required, then Christ, he says, died in vain. Peter, if you're going to bring these believers in Galatia under the Jewish rules of circumcision and all the rest of it, then the death of Christ was for no purpose at all.
Right.
He died that we should not have to go through all those procedures. He died in our place.
Yes.
That was to set us free and to redeem us to God. But Paul says we have and we know the grace of God, and we needed the death of Christ. Any system of good works to justify us undermines the foundation of the Christian faith.
Right.
Any rituals that replace that justification by Christ undermines the Christian faith.
Right.
It despises the grace of God. It's saying it's not needed. Well, the grace of God is needed.
Amen.
And the work of God is needed. True good works, and the Bible is not against our being involved in and doing good works, but true and good works and Christian living come as a result of salvation. What we couldn't do before, we can do now. And the Bible is Christ in me, over glory. It's why it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Not our doing good works to gain favour with him, but created in Christ Jesus. We're Christ-like because he's made us such.
Yes.
Unto good works. It's the result, not the cause of salvation. Our good works will never get us salvation. Our own good works.
That's right.
But the result of salvation is we become partakers in his good works.
Amen.
Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Mm. We found that we couldn't walk in them. But now, by his grace, we're new creatures and we can walk in them. Bless the Lord. Millions of so-called Christians are striving, hoping to make it to heaven by their good works. They don't know, they're not sure. You ask them, they say, well, I hope I get there. I hope I get there. I hope I've done enough. It contradicts God's word. Mm. Our good works, even those things that we think are good, are filthy in his sight. All our righteousnesses, said Isaiah, are as filthy rags in his sight.
Yeah.
It's not the way to salvation. It makes Christ's death pointless if you start preaching that sort of thing.
Right.
But his good works in us are the result of being saved. Therefore, Peter, therefore, believers today, don't compel Gentiles to live as to the Jews. Therefore, today, don't compel believers to live according to a system of works which we have devised are the things you should be doing. Live with him. What a wonderful, wonderful revelation it is in the Word of God. To know that this whole salvation that God has provided is by his grace. Given to us as we respond in faith.
That's right.
That responding in faith can't take place until we repent. Unless we repent, sin gets in the way.
Amen.
But when we repent and put our faith and trust in him, we receive his great salvation.
Amen.
And we're made righteous in the righteousness of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise his name.